let's read some verses in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll start reading in verse number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The word there, sound, just means healthy doctrine. Time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Now the Apostle Paul was, of course, this was a letter written to this young preacher, Timothy, a young man who needed help. He needed support. He needed counsel. So that's what this is. This is counsel to a young man concerning the times. Of course, though, if it was true in those times, you can certainly see the parallel to the times that we're living in right now. He said the time will come when there will be those that will not be interested in good sound doctrine, but instead they will pick and choose. They will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. It just simply means that they'll just turn away from the truth, and they'll only be interested in teachers that say what they want to hear, what's pleasing to their ears. But he warned Timothy, watch in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. That's what I want to talk about for a few minutes tonight, since we are into this month of missionary emphasis on the work of an evangelist. Now, when you mention the word evangelist, the first thing that comes to your mind is probably these preachers that travel as an itinerant preacher. They visit churches and maybe preach in tent meetings or in crusades or whatever. You might think of people like Billy Graham or different ones that have been known as evangelists. But the fact is, the Bible says that evangelists are a gift to the church. They're a gift to the church. Ephesians 4 and 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, and all these different categories of this fivefold ministry. He said this is a gift. He gave them to the church. And I believe, yes, there are those who travel around and do a work that is called evangelism, but I think closer to the real theme of what the work of an evangelist is an evangelist actually spreads the good news and goes after sinners, goes after the unsaved, the unconverted, the evangelists. I remember a young evangelist talking to me, and he was just discouraged and disappointed. He said, I can't seem to schedule any meetings. I don't have the revivals to support me, and I just can't stay busy. And I said to him, and I've said this to several since, let me give to you a foolproof way, a way that you could schedule more meetings than you would ever be able to schedule. Of course, that gets their attention. Really? What is this foolproof method? I said, everywhere you go, you actually spend time during the day being an evangelist. And you go after people. And you lead the way in showing that congregation how to reach the unsaved and bring them to the house of the Lord. I remember Brother Royce Roy, who was, you know, a missionary, who was traveling. This was years ago. He was just traveling, raising funds to go back to Africa. And he went to some church to preach a few nights. He was going to be in a meeting for a few nights at this church. And during that time, Of course, he's jittery and nervous, got nervous energy, so he got out and he noticed that some of the neighbors close to the church building that their yard needed to be raked. It was all full of leaves, so he just got out there and raked their yard. And he met the people, and he just said, "No, let me do this. Let me just do this for you." And Royce got out there among the neighbors and the people, and he made friends with people. In the course of those few nights that he was there, he brought something like close to 20 people to that meeting. That's what I'm talking about. Any young evangelist or old evangelist, for that matter, if they want to stay completely filled and booked up, if they really do the work of an evangelist, that is that they are going after the unsaved and leading the way and showing the church how to do it, they will always be busy. Amen. It's the truth. Now, another reason that, you know, he calls it the work of an evangelist because evangelism is work. It takes a lot of energy. You expend time, resources. It takes a commitment to care about people that are lost, to invest in people that are lost. But there's a spark, a fire that is lit in a church whenever God begins to raise up people in the church and they recognize that they have a gift to be an evangelist, to go after people, to reach people, to bring people to God, to bring people to the house of God. God raises up people in local churches to be evangelists. And then everyone else, you may not feel like you have the gift to be an evangelist. You might be surprised that God may want to use you in this area to talk to people, to reach people, to talk to them about the Lord, to lead them in the ways of the Lord and show them what it means to be saved and even how to get saved. And you bring them to the house of the Lord with you as a testimony of what God is doing in your life. What is 750,000 miles long? It could wrap around the earth 30 times. And it grows 20 miles every day. It's the line of people on earth who don't know Jesus. That line of people could wrap around the earth 30 times, and it's growing by 20 miles every day. This is a lost world that we live in. It's a lost world. America is changing, and it's changed over the last 30 years, 25, 30 years or so. It has changed so much. The culture of America is changing so quickly that we hardly even recognize it. Now, in many places, the great numbers of people that are unsaved in this nation, while the Christian church is not gaining ground in many cases. Hinduism is growing. I know much of this is because of people that are immigrating into the country, but according to the population, the census records, that Hinduism is grown in the last 20 years by over 200%. Unbelievable. Islam has grown 140-something percent. In America, the face of America is changing. And there is because there's such an anti-Christian bias and an attitude against God and against the Bible and against the principles that we believe in, America is quickly becoming more and more of an opposing place, opposing to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And but that's no reason to stop. If anything, it should be a motivation to us to look at the situation and to do something about it. Amen. To pray that God would ignite the fires of evangelism here in our church. That God would set us on fire to care about the lost and to go after the lost right here in our nation. Let me tell you a little bit about England. I'm interested in England a little more so right now because my kids, Kyle and Erica, have just got their new station, and they are moving them, their family, to an Air Force base in Mendenhall, which is in 90 miles or so north of London, England. And they're going to be there for 2 to 3 years. So they're going further and further and further away from us. Do you know that England is a vast spiritual desert? It is an unbelievable desert as far as there are many, many, many hundreds of villages in England that have not even one evangelical church. That means not Baptist, not Pentecostal, not any kind of a church. An evangelical church is a church that is preaching and reaching for the lost. Not even one. Hundreds and hundreds of villages and cities that don't even have one. Not even one. It's a very, very sad situation in England, especially in light of the fact that it is home to people like Spurgeon, and home to people like the Wesleys, and that it is a place where 150 years ago there was certainly a revival fire burning there, but not today. Not today. It is said that there are over 1 million children in England who have never had any Bible influence. Over 1 million children in England. In one city of 35,000, one church in that city, and at church time on Sunday morning, there were two older people that gathered in to that church, a city of 35,000 people. What happened? What happened in England? Well, I'm sure that's complicated. A lot of things have happened. But the number one thing that happened was the church of the Lord Jesus Christ lost its zeal and its fire for the lost. They ceased to become evangelical. They ceased to be a church that raised up evangelists among them who were going out and reaching the lost and bringing them in and discipling them in the ways of the Lord. And so the church began to lose ground little by little. Little by little, and it is today a spiritual drought. It's nothing but spiritual deadness that is there. It's just a shell of what used to be as far as the churches are concerned. This person that I was reading after concerning the situation in England went to visit the Metropolitan Tabernacle. That's where Spurgeon preached. Thousands. It would hold 5,000 people. They had to turn people away. He preached several times a day to crowds of 5,000. He wrote out his sermons and they printed them in the newspaper. And it was like wildfire all over England. He went to visit the Metropolitan Tabernacle. There was 120 people in a building that seats 5,000. That's right. In the city there where Spurgeon preached 140 years ago or so, 150 years ago. So it's a spiritual drought. Can that possibly happen? Could it possibly happen to us? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, unless we are all doing the work of an evangelist. Why? Well, the Bible says if they can't be saved unless they hear the gospel. That's the only means. Now, I'm thankful for technology. I'm thankful for radio and for all the different means, TV, and all the different means for proclaiming the gospel. I'm grateful for all that's being done, via all these different media outlets. But none of them will replace one-on-one, an individual person who cares about someone enough to go out to them, to reach out to them, to care about them. Romans 10 and 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And all of us are preachers, are proclaimers of the truth of the gospel. We're not just pulpit preachers, but we are all evangelists in the truest sense of the word. The word that's mentioned three times in the New Testament. Here in Timothy, our text here, Paul telling Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. And then in Ephesians 4, that I've also referred to, these gifting, these ministry gifts that are given to the church. Apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers that are gifts to the church. That's the second place. And the other place is in Acts 21, referring to Philip the evangelist, who God used in Samaria to raise up a great revival and then pulled him out of Samaria and sent him down to Gaza to evangelize that one lone Ethiopian eunuch. Philip was an evangelist who obeyed the Lord, if it was to the city, to the crowds, or if it was to the one individual. He was willing to obey the voice of the Lord. The work of an evangelist. Yeah, it requires sacrifice, time, energy, you know, your resources, your willingness to do what the Lord is calling us to do. And I'm so glad that we can give money and we can help our missionaries go. But as I was sitting there listening to Brother Sumner Sunday night, it just hit me. These people are working themselves to death. When you heard about all the things they were doing, preaching several times a day to the military for 3 days straight, and then conducting meetings at the dump, and all these various things that he went through and told about, all the services that they hold and all their efforts that they're putting forth to reach out to children and to the poor and to a local community and the church there, and then traveling to all these places all over the country to preach to the police and to preach to the military. And I just thought, these folks are wearing themselves out preaching the gospel. They are doing so much. And Lord, forgive us, because we've got energy and we've got time and we've got the calling and the ability to move forward. And may God light the fires of evangelism in the hearts of his people right here at First Pentecostal Church once again, that we have a renewed desire and a renewed vision. Amen. The church is in need of evangelists. The church is in need of people like you and me who will say, yes, Lord, I'll be a voice for you on my job, in my to my neighbors, to my family, to my friends, and in public places, wherever you take me, Lord, I will not forsake the call to evangelize. Because we can talk about everything. We can talk about money and business and politics, and we can talk about the weather, and we can talk about all these things that seem to come to the, you know, to our minds when we're in a conversation with people. But what about talking about the gospel? What about making that the topic of your conversation? To talk to people. You say, well, people won't receive it. It's true. A lot of people won't receive it. As a matter of fact, the statistics show 1 out of 25 that you attempt to reach will probably respond in a positive way. That's not a very good statistic. That's not very good. 1 out of 25. But we don't need to focus on the 24. We need to focus on the one. On that one. As you keep trying, as you keep praying, as you keep reaching for them, and as God gives you open doors, don't be fearful and don't be afraid to do it. Don't be afraid that someone's going to reject what you have to say. They probably will. Jesus was rejected. The Apostle Paul was rejected. They may reject you, but don't lose heart. Continue to speak to them, to preach to them, to give to them the gospel. Give them your testimony of what God has done, what he is doing in their life. And you cannot really know for sure what might happen as you plant the seed. Amen. You never know how God may use your effort. Amen. Well, certainly we're fearful of rejection, but we have to be reminded of the fact that we have been given a stewardship. He has given to us a ministry of reconciliation. That's ours. He has given to us. That is to go out, to talk to people, and to be used of God to see people reconciled to God. Because right now they're estranged from the Lord. They're away from God, and you need to be that one that steps in and reaches for those. We do have a responsibility to the lost. We do have a stewardship of the lost. Paul said we are a debtor to the Greeks and the barbarians. And he was showing the broad span there of position and culture. The Greeks, who were educated and wealthy and prominent and, you know, refined, and the barbarians on the bottom end of the spectrum, everything that the Greeks were not. And he said, we are debtors to them, those that are of the higher position in life, and those that are of low position, and people that it would be easy to forget about and to turn away from them, but the poor and the uneducated and the marginalized and all of these people that are in such desperate need, we are debtors to all of them. We're debtors to them because of this wonderful gift of grace that has been given to us, and we owe the world the gospel. We owe people in London, Kentucky, in Laurel County, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. It doesn't matter who they are, what position in life they might be. They need Jesus. And you are probably the conduit that God wants to use to reach them. Amen. Regardless of their status in life or their position in life. God so loved the world. All of them. Every one of them. And we have a calling to every one of them. If the fires of evangelism are not lit in the local church, then the church will, little by little, it'll die out. It'll die out. And that younger generation, the group that James is reaching for right now, those that are just out of high school up to about 30, that's an age group that all the statistics say that they walk away from the church. They walk away from the church. And for whatever reasons, pursuing life, pursuing their own heart desires, whatever. But we have to set a goal to reach them, to go after them, to minister to them, to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more verse, Proverbs 11 and 30. It says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise. The person, the individual that is fruitful is like a tree that grows and then just begins to spread out and gradually becomes large and fruitful and a blessing. He that wins souls is wise. Amen. Who is after those that are out there in our world. The work of an evangelist is something that we have all been called to do. And God help us to allow the fires of evangelism to be lit in our heart once again. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God can use you. He can use you and He can use me as we make ourselves available to the Lord. Let's stand, everybody. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's take a few minutes here tonight just to pray about our own calling and our own ministry to the lost. Are there those that are going to be lost for eternity because you and I neglect? Oh God, what a serious, serious thing to consider. That there are those within our reach, those that are within our sphere of influence. Oh, God, help us. Help us, Lord, to be that person who is willing to speak the name of Jesus, to take the good news, Lord, to take it with joy and let people know, Lord Jesus, that they too can know you. They too can be born again. They can be saved. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Lord, stir up in our church right here locally, Lord, right here among us. Lord, stir up in us a greater desire to reach the lost. And help us, Lord, to begin to say yes to you and to begin to do what you are calling us to do. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.